102. Y'all can be finding Psalm 102, and then we're going to go to Psalm 103. One verse in 102, then we'll be in 103. Doesn't Tay look handsome this morning, his suit? My message, I will bless the Lord. Blessing the Lord has nothing to do with our circumstance. It has nothing to do with what we're going through. We should bless the Lord every single day because He is the Lord. Period. And none of our problems change who He is. None of our problems catch God off guard. None of our issues, none of our circumstances are out of the rim and reach of a sovereign God. And I trust God. I trust God. You know, Bill said a statement just now about Gail. And for some folks, we're divided on what he says. Some of you may be like, well, I want him to be healed. When Bill says, let's pray the will of God be done. You know, we need to think about that. If we believe that God is sovereign, that God's in control of all things, then we must trust that His will is always the right way. Yes, do we want Gail back with us, restored and back to his old self? Of course we do. But you know what? What does Gail want as he's laying there? What's his heart's desire? Is his desire, is Lord, I want to really be restored and right? Or is his desire sitting there saying, Lord, you know, I'm ready to go home if you're ready to take me home. So take me on home, Lord, whatever your will is. I know Gail told us one day, he says, I can't go yet. And Roger's like, why can't you go yet, Gail? He said, because there's still people who hadn't forgiven me. So, me and Roger are talking, and so maybe now all's been forgiven. I don't know. But I like what Bill said. If we have to, you know, God said that in his prayer. Pray this way, right? Your will be done in heaven as it is in earth. Your will be done. That should be our earnest prayer. Yes, we want people alive with us. We don't like to see them when they pass away. We don't like to see tragedy. We don't like to see disease and sickness. We don't like to see pain and suffering. We don't like any of those things. But if we believe that we should bless the Lord at all times, Job went through a lot. There ain't none of us been through what Job went through. Save your story for Dr. Phil, because ain't none of y'all been through what Job's been through. Yet Job said, naked I came out of mother's womb, naked I shall return. Bless the name of the Lord. Job was saying, no matter what I suffer, I'm not going to stop praising my God. No matter what I've been through, I'm going to bless his holy name because I know who he is. I know who I am in him, and God changes not. We serve God as human beings. We all do it. I don't care who we are, preachers too. We all do this, maybe even subconsciously. But our worship and our dedication to God is measured by the success and victories of our lives. Man, when things are going good, like this morning, it would be very easy for me to be a little bit discouraged because there's way too many empty seats in here this morning. But you know what? I shan't be discouraged. I shall go on. Onward, Christian soldiers, the old song says, right? Because as Melanie says, it don't matter about the seats that are empty. It's about the ones that are full. She told me that in the fire department days when we first started out, and I'd be so whiny and discouraged. We only had 17 people. Well, you had 17 people. Oh, that's true. Could have had zero people. So you're right. And so we don't bless the Lord because of what we see or don't see, which is people today. We bless the Lord on who he is. And he is forever the same. And that's what I love about God. This is what 102 says. Verse 27 says, but thou art the same, and your years shall have no end. Think about that. I'm going to pass on one day. We all are going to pass over one day. But God is forever. And because I'm in Christ, that makes me forever. So because the days of God are forever, so are my days in Christ now forever. And I am thankful for that. And that gives us hope. No matter how long you live, whether you're 16 years old or whether you're 86 like Gail is, life is so short in the time speck of eternity. It is just fleeting and it goes by so quickly. And I'm thankful that it doesn't end here. I'm thankful that there's hope in Christ. And that's why I will bless the Lord. Look at chapter 103. We're going to read 1 through 5, then skip around a little bit through the rest of the chapter. Now, David is telling himself to bless the Lord, whether he was going through a time of discouragement. And I'm going to tell you, there's nothing wrong with that. You wake up tomorrow morning, and you're just feeling discouraged. You're just feeling depressed. You're a little bit down, a little bit, you know, I'm just ain't feeling it. Sometimes you got to look in the mirror and say, hey, good looking. I'm going to bless the Lord today. I'm sorry, I'm telling you what I say. Y'all say what you want. Good morning. I'm going to bless the Lord. Just saying those words out of your mouth will ignite something inside of you. Because what it does, it points you to the Lord just by saying that. How can you say, I will bless the Lord and then not bless the Lord? I'm telling you, try that. We don't always feel it. I know that. Monday mornings, Tuesday mornings, whatever. You know, we're working for the weekend, the old song says, right? We're working for the weekend. The week can be draining and then, you know, we don't always feel like it. But David says here, he opens up by telling his own soul to bless the Lord. Look what he says. Bless the Lord, O my soul. God, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to adore you. I'm going to kneel before you. I'm going to acknowledge you. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. God, I'm going to give you all of me. I use this example a lot because it's something we can all relate to. Most of us can. Some of you can't, but most of us can relate. You go to a sports game, a football game. You're going to be sold all out to who you're going for. You've bought the tickets. You've paid for parking. You're probably going to buy a snack or some food. You might buy a souvenir. You're going to wear probably a jersey that you bought, a cap that you bought. You might paint your face up with the color of your team, maybe, if you're that bold. And you're going to yell, and you're going to scream. Some of you are going to cuss. I'm just being honest. I know y'all, you know, we ain't all saints up in here. And you're going to be mad, and you're going to talk about the officials. Are you blind? Call it both ways, ref. We're going to be all out. When me and Melanie went to that Pittsburgh game a couple years ago, our friend had tickets for us and invited us up for a game. It was awesome. And we were into it. They came out of that tunnel running. We're yelling. You got, you know, 60,000 people screaming and yelling for their team, hollering and yelling, and the pyrolyphics are going off and fireworks and the jumbo, the big screen. Yeah, thank you. Is you know, lit up, and I mean, everybody's into it and they're excited, and we got people around us high-fiving me. We don't even know them. You know, they get a big play and a guy looks around me and gives us fist bumps. Hey, that's that great. Yeah, man. Great. Who's that? You know, that's how it is in the game. Man, you are sold out. Harry back here is a golfer, pretty good golfer. And I guarantee he's on that golf course. He's locked in. Now, maybe not so much now. He said when he was younger, he was really, really competitive. Now he does it for fun, but he's still, I'm sure, pretty good. But I'm sure at one point he was locked in on that par. If it's a par four, I got to get this in four. I'm locked in. I mean, man, he's locked in. When that ball goes off that tee, he's curving his body to make it go the way he wants, you know. Sold out. People have golfed when it's been raining before. You ever seen a football game up north in the winter when it's 12 degrees and it's snowing and the stadium's full, but on a cloudy Sunday morning in church, it might rain. I might get my hair wet. Man, it's crazy. If you're sold out to something, you're going to be sold out to it. David is saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. God, I want to give all that I have unto you. I want to give all that I have to you, God, because I know what you've done for me. I know who you are in my life. Next verse. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I came across in my files, going through some paperwork the other day, cleaning out my office. We had some benefit packages we made years ago when we first started church. I've got a copy I saved. It's called My Benefit Package, and I had a little introduction of what it meant. And y'all had one down at the shop, Karina, at Bob's shop. Remember that benefit package laying there on the counter? My benefit package. Yes, yes. And I have benefits, and one of them is like love, peace, forgiveness, healing. I got like 10, I got 9 benefits listed. The 10th one says miscellaneous benefits. I kind of cracked myself up. Look at that. I said, miscellaneous benefits. Wrote it years ago. But there's so many benefits that God gives us. And David's reminding himself, I might be going through a hard time today. I might be going through some suffering and some pain. I might be discouraged. I might be afraid. I might be in a really bad place. I might be in a dark place right now. But God, I'm going to remember all of your benefits. As I start remembering all of your benefits, the word benefits means rewards. As I, God, remember all the rewards that I have through you, how can I stay depressed? How can I stay afraid? How can I stay discouraged? How can I stay in the same place when I know what my benefits are? And he names a few beginning here in verse 3. Who forgiveth all my iniquities? Man, we carry such a burden of shame and guilt all of our lives sometimes, even as Christians, of the things that we have done. And we wonder, has God really forgiven us? The Bible tells us one of the benefits of God is he has forgiven us of all of our iniquities. What a burden remover. What a chain breaker to realize, God, you are not condemning me. I'm no longer in that condemnation anymore, God. I have passed from that judgment of what I was into the justification of what I am because of this forgiveness. I've been forgiven. It doesn't matter what sins they are. The Bible says they're all your iniquities. We love to categorize as Christians. We do that all the time, big sins, little sins. He says, I forgive you of all your iniquities. Adultery, fornication, drunkenness, rebellion, lying, stealing, whatever sins you want to categorize as sins in your life. All the things we do that we know aren't pleasing to God. The psalmist says, Lord, I know you have forgiven me. And you have healed all my diseases. I got thinking about that verse. And we know that God heals us sometimes here on the earth. Sometimes we don't get the healing on the earth we want. But we're healed, aren't we? Cancer, eventually, for the Christian, is healed. Heart disease, dementia, Alzheimer's, stroke, whatever the case. All of those things, if we're in Christ, are healed. Because when we leave this earth, if that disease takes us out of this place, it doesn't go with us to the next place. He heals all my diseases. He heals my spiritual wickedness. He heals that thing I was born with called the sin nature. And folks in this generation seem to have a real problem with that sin nature theology. They really do. But I want to tell you, it's evident that we are born with that. We know that from a child up. We're born with that sin nature because sin's a lot more fun than being holy. See, Kevin knows. He's amen back here. Hear him? Sin is a lot, and sin's a lot easier. And sin comes a lot more natural. There's not been a time that Melon's been driving when somebody cut her off that she went, I think I'll speak in the Holy Ghost right now. I feel spiritual. Hallelujah. She don't do that. You know what Melon does? She goes Medea up in there. That's what Melon does. Because that fire comes up. Because that sin nature is there. And to know now that God has healed that disease I was born with of sin. He has absolved it through Calvary. He's fixed it through the cross. He's made it all go away through Jesus Christ. And man, I'm thankful for that. Then David goes on to say in verse 4, he redeemeth my life from destruction. He redeemeth me. Redeem means to buy back. I remember as a kid, back in the 70s, back when you could take drink bottles, glass bottles, back to the grocery store, remember? Turn the little six-pack back in, and you got a redemption stamp for it. You get, I don't know, 10 cents back or whatever for turning the glass bottles. I guess that was called recycling back then. I don't know what it was. But I remember Dad going to the old Winn-Dixie store down at the mall before it closed. He would take those bottles back and get a little redemption and get redeemed so much. Redeem means to buy back.
It means to purchase. Jesus has bought us back from the hands of death and destruction. He's redeemed us, church. That's why we can bless the Lord no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're facing. Even Gail in his situation laying there with one side paralyzed, his speech impaired, he can still bless the Lord, oh his soul, and forget not all of your benefits. For Gail in his condition can still say, I am healed, I am redeemed. By the grace of Jesus, I have been redeemed from destruction. I've been healed of all my diseases. I've been forgiven of all of my sins. And a stroke doesn't change that. And cancer doesn't change that. And a car wreck doesn't change that. And all the death and hell that comes against you doesn't change any of God's benefits. They have been sealed, signed, and delivered, hallelujah, by the hand of Jesus. They've been guaranteed by the blood that was spilled on Calvary. And the great thing about these benefits, unlike your life insurance policy that runs out after so long, this does not ever run out. And I've got that written in my benefit package at the back of the page I wrote where these benefits never expire. Think about that. God's love never expires. God's grace never expires. God's forgiveness never expires. God's future, his eternal life we have, never expires. We don't expire as Christians. We are no longer do we have a perishable date stamped on us as Christians. We don't ever go out of date. We don't run out. We don't go bad. We are forever now in Christ, forevermore his, because he's redeemed us from destruction. He's crowned me, David says, with loving kindness and tender mercies. What if we showed other people the same mercy Christ showed us? Man, we don't do that, though. We let the little things keep us so out of sorts with people. We won't forgive them for the slightest thing they've done to us. But here is Christ who has covered us with his tender mercies that we don't deserve. We don't deserve what God's given us, but we have it. We didn't earn it. We can't keep it. But God gave it to us. What do you think about that? All the times that we have failed to do what we know is right to do. And I mean fail sometimes intentionally. You ever know when you're sinning, you know you're sinning? I mean, it's like a bug being drawn to a light on your front porch, right? You know you're sinning. I know I'm sinning. I just can't stop. There's times that we intentionally do things because our flesh gets the best of us. And we know it's wrong. And we feel bad even while we're doing it. But that sin nature is so strong. But God covers us with loving kindness and mercy, letting us know, I know who you are. I've made you. I created you. I formed you in your mother's womb. I know you're uprising, you're down-sitting. I know all about you, and yet I love you. Oh, I know every thought you think, but yet I love you. Every word you speak, but I love you. I know every intention of your heart. I saw a thing on Facebook yesterday where somebody was sharing, you know, they get these stupid things that people put about if you could do one of these 10 things, which one would you pick forever? You know, like which food would you give up for life or whatever. Well, this one was about which thing would you want? A lot of money. One thing it said on these 10 things was, read someone's mind for the next 3 days. Are you serious? There ain't no way I touch out the 10-foot pole. I would not want to know what y'all are thinking, and I sure as heck wouldn't know what y'all know what I was thinking. Can you imagine how scary that would be? Here's Ralph telling Sherry, I love you, honey. You're the best wife ever, but she can read his real thoughts. Whew, not you do love her, I know that. I'm just saying. She looks at him and says, remember that old Twilight Zone, the little boy in the cornfield? You better not think bad thoughts of me. You're thinking bad thoughts of me. I know what you're thinking. And they were gone into the cornfield. Wish them away. That's scary. Well, God knows your thoughts. And guess what? You ain't no cornfield. Hallelujah. His mercy keeps you out of the cornfield because he knows all of our intentions. And all of our thoughts, and yet he loves us. That's amazing to me. Verse 5. He satisfies my mouth with good things. Man, God brings things that bring us peace and pleasure, the right kind of pleasure, that brings us joy and happiness, the right kind of joy and the right kind of happiness. He gives us desires of our heart if they line up with him. And he renews our strength again like the eagle. In other words, you got days you're just tired. You're just tired. Even our young folks like Ivy and Nathan, they get tired. I know they get tired. I'm talking about tired of life sometimes, tired of just, you know, you're overwhelmed with problems, you're overwhelmed with things, you know. You're just tired. And you're sick of being tired. And you're tired of being sick. Well, what God does, He restores that and gives you the strength that you need to face your day again. He can restore all the brokenness. He can restore all the battered days. He can restore all the junk between when you was good and when you're not good. He can restore that and say, no, I'm going to renew you again like the eagle. The eagle is a very beautiful story of what an eagle does to renew himself. He goes through a very painful process. The eagle will fly away by itself and get off to itself and pluck all of its feathers out with its beak, which is an extremely painful process. It will pluck all of its feathers out. It will saw off its claws and stuff, and it beats its beak down to get it to resharpen. It does all of that in solitude and goes through all of that pain so that when the feathers grow back and the claws grow back and all of that comes back, that he is again renewed like he was a few years ago and can soar again with strength and with power. That's what God does for us. God, we may feel like our feathers are plucked right now and our beak is battered. But you know what? When the power of God hits you, all of a sudden you're soaring above the storm again. You're not in the storm anymore. You're above the storm. And God is lifting you up. And where you are weary, you're now running. You're not fainting anymore, but you are strong in the power of God. Next verse. We're going to skip to verse, I think, 8. The Lord is merciful. He is gracious. He is slow to anger. That paints a different picture than the God we've heard preached sometimes, huh? I am God. I am Zeus. It's going to throw fire and brimstone because you did something wrong. David says, our God is slow to anger. We're not so slow to anger as humans, but God is. Aren't you glad God's got a lot of mercy? Because this preacher needs a lot of mercy. I'm glad God ain't ran out of mercy. Back in my old food line days, back in the 90s, we had these little red cards called temporary out of stock. And they had a program going on to where he's out of stock of an item. You had to go tape these red squares on the thing so the customer, like they couldn't know that, but the customer would see temporary out of stock. And I'd go around and tape all these red squares up. Aren't you glad when you call up on God, he doesn't say, Ashley, I'm temporarily out of stock. No more mercy today for you. No more grace for you. I don't have a listening ear for you anymore. I've ran out for you, Ashley. I'm thankful our God is merciful on and on and on and on and on. We tend to think as human beings that God, mercy will run out for us, or that we've crossed a threshold that God can't forgive, or let's put it in plain terms. We keep doing the same dumb, stupid stuff over and over and over, don't we? We stay in this cycle where we just keep repeating ourselves over and over and over, and then we kick ourselves for it the next day, then repeat it again, then we kick ourselves, repeat it again, kick ourselves. God's mercy keeps on flowing in your life, and he loves you beyond measure. He's got a lot of mercy. Now, Jewel, if you have the mercy for Chuck that God has for Chuck, things is all well, right, Chuck? Things are all well. Next verse. This is verse 10. He, talking about God, hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Isn't that a powerful verse? What it's saying is God has not given us what we deserve. Because through our sins, we deserve judgment, condemnation, and death, and separation from God. But he doesn't give us that. He gave us Christ to step into a period of time to redeem mankind and to do what no man could ever do. He doesn't give us what we deserve. That's why it's called grace. It is a gift of God, lest any man boast. You ever been around religious folks that's got it all together? They're so good. They're so holy. They'll let you know how holy they are too. Heard a guy one time say, I told this before, I promise you I'm not lying. I wasn't high, I wasn't drunk. He told me this, I promise. He told me, he says, well, actually a guy told me that a guy told him. So let me clarify. Somebody at church years ago said, this guy ran to me and told me that he hadn't sinned in like 4 or 5 days. He hadn't sinned. I'm sitting there thinking, okay, he hasn't sinned. And he told me that. He hadn't sinned in 4 or 5 days. Think about it. I mean, that's ridiculous, a statement to make. We absolutely are in a place, a rim of sin, and we were born with that sin nature. And the Bible, Jesus says, you know, because remember what the one wise guy said, or the guy said, one to salvation, he says, I've kept all the commandments. I've honored my mom and dad. I've done this, blah, blah, blah. Jesus said, well, that's good. He says, go sell what you have and give the poor. It was a heart condition. He didn't want him to go sell all he had. He was seeing where his heart was. We can observe things from the outside, yes, but if our heart is not right, nothing matters. Remember what Jesus said, that, you know, maybe you've not committed adultery, but if you look at a woman the wrong way, you have. Maybe you've not murdered someone, but if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. He was trying to talk about how our heart has to be changed. And so, yes, we always have to battle that. And yes, there is no one that goes without sin through thought, through word, through action, through something. Because the Bible says all have fallen short and none. All have fallen short of the glory of God. He does not give us what we deserve, and I'm thankful for that. Next verse. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. This is a reverent fear. This is honoring God. This is putting God first. God, you're my Lord. You're my Savior. When we acknowledge him, his mercy is always there for us. Verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. He's giving a description of the possible extremity of opposites. As far as you could possibly imagine, God's removed the transgressions from you. That's why we bless the Lord, oh my soul. Because I don't get what I deserve. You've removed my transgressions. You forgive me of my iniquities. You've healed me of my diseases and my sickness. God, I'm going to bless your name. If you do nothing else, you've done all you need to do for my life. If I don't get a big check in the mail, if I don't get that brand new car, that nice job I wanted, that new home, or whatever I'm praying for, if I don't get anything else in this life, God, that I pray for in the natural, you've already done everything that I ever need to secure my future. And that's why I'm going to bless your name. Because every person, whether they're rich or poor, black or white, Democrat or Republican, doesn't matter. Whether they're every person, believer, atheist, whatever person lives on this earth, until Jesus returns, every person will go the same way. Their money can't stop them. Their name can't stop them. Their reputation can't stop them. When it's their time, it's their time. Because God's the control of all life. And so all their riches won't matter and all the natural blessings won't matter because none of that goes with them. Solomon taught us that in Ecclesiastes when he was walking around saying, look at everything I've built. Look at all that I've done. My orchards, my vineyards, my gardens, my homes. Man, all of this stuff. But you know what? It's vanity. Because what happens to it when I'm gone? I guarantee you, Gale Finch, the last thing on his mind is his trailer right now. It's his possessions right now. It's his little Kia Soul right now. The only thing on his mind is what's next for me. God, what's next? My possessions can't heal and reverse my stroke. My charm can't reverse my stroke. My money, if I tell the doctor, hey, I'll give you $1 million if you make me better, can't fix that. Which may be $1 million. My hospital bill by the time he's done. But none of that can fix it. So I bless the Lord because I know where I'm going when this is over. When I lay down, it's the old song at the cross, when I lay down my trophies and I take on the crown. It's at the cross where I first saw the light, where all of my burdens were rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I'm happy and I will bless the Lord all of my days. Next verse, Brandon. Like a father pitieth his son or his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He has a greater love than we have for our own children. Next verse. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. See, God knows us. I mean, he knows who we are. He knows our weaknesses and our failures. Look at verse 15. As for a man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, is gone, and the place therefore shall know it no more. In the natural, we grow older, and we don't look the same. We don't look like we did when we were... I don't look like Nathan anymore. I didn't before, but what I'm saying is, it's obvious that Nathan is much, much younger than I am because of the aging process. I was a flower at one time, just like Nathan. A beautiful petunia. And now I'm a cactus. It's just how life happens. You know, we were young and had hair, and there's a picture of me at the house. Jamie's talking about it, says, man, there's a picture of me in the backyard. I'm playing ball with him. He's probably 4 years old. He goes, man, Dad, you are fit. Had shorts and a shirt on, and I'm looking at myself, and I'm like, man, I date me. Good gosh. I am pretty fit. I'm like, what happened? Man, what happened? We're a flower. Then that flower fades away, and then it's gone off the earth. You know, did a service I thought was really sad, and I know it's just the how it is in life. Did a service this week for a 97-year-old man. Actually, I knew him from when I was a little boy. Told the daughter I knew him. And he was 97, and they had just a graveside service. No visitation, no regular service. It was a very quick, passed away on Wednesday night. He was in the ground Friday. And 97 years old, just a gravesite, and there were probably 12 or 13 people there. And that was it. Preacher did a 15-minute message. And I'm sitting there thinking, here's 97 years of life. A flower that bloomed for 97 years on this earth. And on the day of departure, there's 12, 14 people there to celebrate this flower. And then a few years later, that he'll be forgotten by many people or not thought of much. Just, I mean, his family don't forget him, but most of his friends and stuff will, even me that knew him, I'll be like, you know, I won't think about him very much. He's gone. I might hit me one day if I see the store he ran. I remember him. But I won't dwell on him anymore. So we have to understand that this is a very temporal place we're in. But here's the good news, the next verse, 17. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto his children's children. So yes, we leave this earth at some point, but God's mercy is forever, and I'm with him forever. And so though this flower may fade from the earth, I will bloom again, and I'll look way better than Nathan in that next room. Way better. Because I will be glorified in his presence. That's why I bless the Lord. Because he's the lily of my valley. He's my bright and shining star. He is my rose of Sharon. He has promised he will never leave me, never forsake me. He has promised me everlasting life. Right here, I see that. A couple more verses, we'll close this out. Go to the next verse, Brandon. Verse 19. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens. His kingdom ruleth over all. Then David closes out this chapter by encouraging everyone, all of us, to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, ye angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments. Hearken to the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his host, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We bless the Lord no matter what we see, no matter what we're facing. We bless the Lord. I am God and I change not. I am he that was, that is, and that will always be. I am the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. I am he that liveth and ruleth over all. I'm God. And when you bless me, you can't stay unblessed. I'm telling you. And there's times that we, and that's why Mom made that I think that proclamation, the Primetimers, was a good one. That there's times that we have to make a dedicated, intentional effort into blessing the Lord. That we say, God, I'm going to take this 5 minutes today just to bless your name. Before I go to work, or after I get home from work, or before I go to bed, or whatever it is. You know, maybe you're on your break at work. I want to take 5 minutes of my break just to go to my car, go somewhere, go to the bathroom. Everybody's in the bathroom. You're by yourself. You know, take 5 minutes. I'm going, Lord, I just want to bless you right now. I want to give you praise. I want to give you honor for who you are. It's hard to bless the Lord and be discouraged. Because, man, you start blessing the Lord. You get, like I said, I've been to several football games, a few basketball games. I've never been to a game where the crowd was silent, except for a moment of silence. I've been to several Panther games. I've never been to one to where I walk in there to stadiums, all you hear is crickets. They are cheering. They are loud. They are drunken, some of them. And they are making spectacles of themselves, and they are wild, some of them. But they are making noise. Even if the team is down. I've been at games where the Panthers, well, most of the games, the Panthers were down. And they were behind. But the crowd would still be cheering. You know, a basketball game has a very distinct chant. It gets on Melon's nerves when I'm watching that. But they have a chant.
Defense. Defense. Defense.
Man, they are celebrating and blessing their team, and they're encouraging them. And even if their team is down, when Duke was down 23 points with 9 minutes left to Louisville last week. Yeah. I guarantee you, and then North Carolina beat them. I guarantee you that those Duke fans did not give up on their team. I didn't watch that game, but I heard they were 23 points down in 9 minutes. They came back. I guarantee you, those Duke crazies in Cameron, those 9,000 seat stadium where they're doing that, I guarantee you they didn't stop making noise. Did you watch the game? They keep making noise, even they were down. Kept making noise. They kept on. We might be 23 points down in 9 minutes, but we are not giving up. We believe in our Blue Devils. What if you could believe in the devil, Shannon? How in the world can you not believe in the Lord? My God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. Give him all the praise and all the worship and all the glory, all the admiration, because he deserves every ounce of effort we could possibly give him. No matter what. Because I know that when my time comes, I'll be out of this whole world and I'll be seeing the face of Jesus. You got something prepared for the end of service? Go ahead and come up here. I want you to play something else if you don't mind. I'm going to change. You can play this afterward, but I got something I want you to play if you don't mind right now. Y'all know this song. It's an oldie. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Let's stand together as Marge begins to play that and sing that. Let's sing that together for our offering. That's our hope. That's why we bless the Lord, oh my soul.
What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see.
Coming
a day,
yes,
when no heartache tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Let's sing it to them, church.
Be church. That's what we're celebrating. That's why we bless his name. No more tears, no more aches, no more sins, no more pain, no more heartaches. All will be well. That's why the Bible says, precious are the death of his saints in the sight of the Lord. Precious. Oh, what he has waiting on us is indescribable. Hallelujah. Y'all can be seated for a minute. Ushers will come up, receive our morning giving today.